I guess we'll see.
Moving? And we're on. All right, well.
Kale's typical intro.
That's normal. And we're on. But I figured we'd start off today just simply talking about Raging and just recapping Raging. Just okay. Starting off off the bat, all right? All right. We'll save Cody for last, all right? We'll move that for the special. But we had a lot of people compete. A lot of people actually showed up to even, like, spectate. I feel like a lot more people showed up just to watch than I expected.
We got gypped on the barbell this year.
We did get gypped on a barbell. There's no way. I think we win it every year if they do that.
Well, last year, I think it was...
And they had cool bars this year. Last year, I think it was red and blue bars.
Yeah, so. I think last year was the first year where... Was it based off the amount of... I think it was just based off the amount of people who came to watch.
I think so. It was just spectators, because they did a big spectator thing last year.
The gym who had the most spectators won a free barbell. We won it last year. And I'm fairly confident we'd have won it again this year.
Oh, I'm almost positive we would have won it.
And also...
Like the Hurricane shirts at Raging were everywhere.
Yeah, and also the most people signed up for the competition in general.
Did we... Are we sure?
Out of any gym there, I'm pretty sure we had the most athletes there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had, what, 12 teams in all?
Somewhere around there. Like 20-something people, 24, 26 people.
Yeah, just competed. So, I mean, I seriously doubt any other gym was remotely close to that. I don't think even Raging had that many people.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, we always have a good showing, either spectating, competing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I thought this year we weren't going to have that many people, and we ended up with 24 people, 26 people. So that's really good, I felt like. But I know for sure Haley and Candace, they ended up winning that.
Pulled off the W.
So they got the dub over there. So they got first place in that. I want to say Crystal and Kylie weren't far behind them. I think they got maybe
7th or 8th. 7th or 8th, said.
Something like that.
Cooper and Trevor got 3rd.
Cooper and Trev, podium. So they ended up getting on there.
Very disappointed 3rd place team.
Very, very disappointed 3rd place team. Hood and Ted pulled off an upset in the second workout.
The bench press workout. What did they end up placing? Like 4th?
5th? I want to say they were also like 7th or 8th.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure they were top 10, I know for sure.
And they had, what, 24 in
that
division?
They had a lot of people in that division. That was probably the biggest division probably from the weekend.
Yeah, they allowed more teams inside the division than any other one. Because they were going to cap at 20
and they let
at each time. Division. And then I think because some of the other divisions didn't obviously fill out, they're like, well, let's go ahead and we'll allow more people in this individual division. Because that's the one that filled out the most. That and the girls. I think the girls are maybe 19.
19.
They were quite capped out.
Okay.
But the guys capped out pretty quickly, and then they allowed
it. Intermediate's always like the most popular divisions, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, at least for the most people actually joining them. But I want to say, who else did we have?
And
we
had Heidi and Kyle.
Yeah, Heidi and Kyle. I don't know how they did. They kind of were just going to go, so.
Well, Kyle likes to get the free t-shirt.
Yeah, Kyle went and got the free t-shirt.
It's not free.
Well, the funny thing is they finished the second workout, and Kyle's like pretty much telling Heidi, like, we are never doing this again.
He said no more?
He said this was it. This was the last one they're doing together.
Was it the first one he's ever done?
I think this is probably their second one they've done together.
Okay, well, I know Heidi did one time with Sydney, right?
Yeah, well, they did one in, that was Sydney's first competition in Pineville. Pineville, yeah. Something like that. This is a small competition.
This is years ago.
But there's that one. Kyle didn't do that one. But I want to say Kyle did one, North Shore?
Okay.
North Shore or Battle on the Bayou, something like that. They did together. So this is their second time.
It's Steven and Trey.
Steven and Trey, they got crushed. Fourth?
Trey really wanted to get the free vest the final.
That was his goal the whole time, was just
to
get the final watch.
To get the free vest. And they won the second workout.
They did really good. Did they win the bench press one?
They won the bench press
workout. They won that thing?
They won the workout. What? Dude, by... Because me and Nick got second. I want to say they probably beat us by...
See, I thought they got second in that workout.
No.
They won the whole day.
They won the workout. That's, we got second. That's dope. I want to say they were probably a good 15 to 30 seconds ahead of us.
Ahead of y'all?
They crushed it.
That's awesome. That was good. Because I know that was their goal going in, was just to like get y'all in one workout. So that's good for them.
Yeah, they got that one. And then who else are we missing here?
Well, we got Christian Leland.
Christian Leland.
They did what, 87th or 86th?
Six or seven. Something like that.
Which they, I thought they were going to.
And they didn't really.
We could have Hurricane Cross at podium the second workout.
Yeah. And they didn't. They did well in that workout?
They didn't do terrible.
Okay. No, well, they didn't really practice anything, right? They really practice. Until like the weekend before.
Yeah, well, so. Like, Christian was like kind of babying his knee a little bit. Mm-hmm. Leland had messed up his, like,
traps.
trap? His trap?
It was like a trap to his neck.
His neck, yeah, that's what it was. So they kind of had a little bit of trouble going into it, but they ended up doing well. They did okay.
And Sydney Lakin.
Sydney and Lakin, they ended up in... I don't really know. We're going to say...
Kale, that is your girlfriend.
We're going to say top nine. We're going to say top nine. I want to say they got... If I had to put a number on it, I'm pretty sure they got sixth.
And then you had Brandy Darian.
Brandy and Darian, they got fourth, right?
I believe so. They were right top five. Right out of the podium,
I'm pretty sure.
They're definitely top five.
Top five. I know we're missing some more people in there.
Not that I can think of.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, that went too bad.
If we miss anybody,
listen. We forgot the Cody and Nick special.
Oh. Well, we got me.
Well, we got okay. also and Cody and Jake, right?
Okay, Cody and Jake.
Cody and Jake. Cody and Jake. Cody and Jake didn't do too bad. And I think that was Jake's first competition, so that was a good one for him.
Because Cody did individual last year, didn't he?
Last year, yes. Yeah. Cody, I'll tell people that the other day. I was like, from last year to this year, Cody's gotten way better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least, like, fun, like skills and, like, just in CrossFit in general. And then, obviously, you and Nick, okay? Y'all ended up in second.
Second.
So on the podium. I don't know if everybody got to see the famous video going around, but
you can go find it on Facebook.
How are your ribs?
Not bad. It's
I know Sunday you said a little tough getting off. Well, couch.
That night was rough, but I woke up Sunday morning a lot better than I thought I would. I mean, I was still sore from the fall, but I can still feel the. I don't know what the word is, like the reminiscence of...
Did you do those oblique crunches yesterday?
No.
No?
If I get into a certain angle, I twist a certain way, I can kind of feel it, but it's not bad, though. It's manageable.
Overall. Well, also, Cody got a vest, too. Not just Trey. So, Cody also got him a weight vest.
That I'm Did you keep use. It? Yeah, it's right over there. Did you? It's right behind you. I got three... Well, I think one of those is actually Chad's, but technically I have two.
Dude, they said they're nice vests.
They are nice vests.
I don't know if they're nice or not. Trey said they're super comfortable.
I mean, I only wore it for that one work. I hadn't put it on back since then. I'm sure Trey's literally cooked dinner and used the bathroom.
Trey's like slept in it then.
Took a shower with it on. The workout that we did, I mean, it broke my fucking fall.
It broke your fall. It was damn loud. That's what I know. I definitely know it was loud.
It didn't feel great, but it is.
I think that's my favorite thing was I put it on Facebook. It was like the announcer saying he's a no rep.
A no rep.
No fucking shit. he's like, I hope he's okay. And I'm like, well, he's waving him on. So I think he's all right.
Well, and I'm still going to argue my point that I got that rep.
He did. His toes touched the rings.
And Lacey wants to argue with me and say it doesn't count because my hands weren't on the rings. But you go read the rules. It says when the rep is finished, when both feet make contact with the rings. It doesn't say anything with the hands physically on the rings. She goes, well, it's understood. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's not in the wording of it. So I should have been rewarded that 40th rep. and then sure enough, on the 39.5 rep, that's when I bust my ass. So I thought maybe I had got it. And I was telling Nick just like go
just get out the way.
Go do the workout. Don't like, cause don't worry about me. He kind of was like checking on me. I'm like, go.
And then one of my other favorite parts was watching the judge when you hit the ground.
What did he do?
Oh my god. Not even that he did anything. It was almost like you hit the ground and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know if they should help you up or if they should like jaw just dropped, like just staring at you. I was like, do something. I was like, either ask him if he's okay or move, pull him out the way, do something. Don't just look at him. But no, it was a pretty fun time. I felt like they were pretty on time too with their schedule. I think they were like
maybe
15 minutes.
Well, I know by the second workout they were like 30 minutes.
Okay, so they're a little more behind.
A little bit more behind compared to, I think they had some, it was, I think during the first workout they were having a little bit of organization issues with changing the floor out a little bit to a degree. I think they were wasting a little bit of time there, which, but overall it's not like they ran behind like hours like I've seen at some local competitions.
And I don't know how you felt, but I enjoyed the heck out of, I don't necessarily like watching the maxes in like a normal workout that everybody does just because there's so many people lifting and it's hard to like focus in on one person.
Sure.
But when they do a final and it's like only like 5 or 10 teams that you get to watch, I always feel like the max lift is like so much more like intensified almost. Like that, like everybody in the stadium is like watching the final, which makes it feel a little bit more intense to me than versus like everybody doing the whole max the whole day.
Yeah, I mean, there's less people on the floor.
Yeah.
So it feels a little bit more like mano-a-mano.
Well, it's almost kind of like when like you're only watching like, normally it's only like one person going at a time. Like there's not like three or four people lifting at the same time. So it was, I enjoyed it.
Well, it's tougher in that standpoint where you have, let's say it could just be a max lift, but you have 10, 15 teams out there, it's really hard to understand who's lifting what weight. And it's a lot of people lifting at one time. And then if you do one person at a time, if you do one person at a time, then it's kind of slow moving, kind of boring, kind of like a weightlifting meet. And at least with this one, you got five people. You might have two people lifting at one time, but it's not dramatically a lot of to kind of take in at one time.
Yeah. I guess. All right. Well, that was a little bit of a raging recap if you didn't get to spectate it or if you haven't got to talk to anybody about it yet. But number one question we're going to start the day off with is, when you show up to the gym and you come in for a class wide, how do you determine whether you had a successful workout or a not successful workout?
Well, I think it depends on the person and what their current goals are.
Okay.
Will determine a successful day or not, I guess, to a degree.
Let's say they're just coming in for
and where they're at fitness, a stage.
Just want to look good, you're right. They're just coming in, checking the box type deal.
Well, I think, once again, it's kind of hard to say what exactly would be a successful workout, right? For some people, it's just a matter of getting in the gym and breaking a sweat, and that is a successful day for them. And that could be, right? But I kind of made a post about this earlier, like maybe on Tuesday in the group, where depending on where you are in your fitness lifespan, I guess, to a degree, or even the state you're currently in, you could go in ebbs and flows of being more consistent than others.
Okay.
And so you just coming to the gym and getting a workout in
could be like a success in general.
That could be successful. Right? That is the foundation to anywhere in the in your life cycle of fitness, right? Right. It doesn't matter if you're trying to be a competitive CrossFitter, you're just trying to push the needle, or I'm just trying to be more fit and more healthy, or I'm just trying to build the habits of being consistent. I think the bottom brick pillar of all that starts with also you just showing up being consistent with your workout, mm-hmm. right? And getting a sweat in and doing that on a consistent basis. That's kind of like the base of the pyramid. And for somebody where they're just trying to build the consistency, that could
just
be all they need
to
be successful, right? And I think probably for a majority of the members, that is the successful part of it.
Okay.
It's just showing up multiple times in a week, breaking sweat and putting forth effort. And then that being a successful
day, week, so on and so forth, right?
I think that's where most people would fall into. It's just a simplistic act of showing up. A lot can be said for somebody who just shows up consistently on a regular basis, right?
Sure.
A lot of times the results will show for that. But I made a post where it becomes a point in time where once you have been consistent enough for a long enough period, that progression that you see will inevitably start to slow, or the results that you see maybe slow.
Okay.
I guess, depending on
after the newbie games kind of go.
Yeah, let's say you've been consistent for 6 months to a year, right? Like you come to the gym, 3 to 5 times a week. You try decently hard, and you've done that for that multiple time. Well, at some point in time, more than likely, what's going to end up happening is some type of regression, or not a regression, but a plateau will start to happen, or the results will slow down. And that's going to happen at any stage. But what I mean by what could be successful or not successful is, let's say maybe you've been doing orange workouts for the past year,
uh-huh.
right? Well, if you want to advance forward your fitness agenda and get stronger and be more fit, well, that might mean I need to include at least one blue workout a week for the next 3 months, right? So what could be classified successful for them could be the fact that they got that blue workout in today,
right?
Or if you're maybe taking it up another notch of, if I'm doing the strength cycle and last week I did 155 pounds on my back squat and this week I did 165, 175 pounds.
That's right? Your win, right?
That could be successful, right? It could be successful of, I didn't walk on any of my runs.
Okay.
That could be a successful workout, right? And
it's
finding
kind of like achieving whatever mini goal that you had set for yourself going into that workout can
to be successful, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, there's multiple ways that you could say what would be classified as successful for somebody, right? You know, for me now, it's not competing isn't like on my like radar, like that's my primary goal anymore. It's more so for me, like in the short term of like getting my knee back right and healthy and things of that nature. So like, obviously I still want to break a sweat and get out of breath and build strength and look good and things of that nature. But, you know, successful workout for me as well is like, did I move the needle in the right direction for the knee to get better? Yeah. Right. And that varies from person to person, but obviously but like you need to know.
You're not trying to regress your knee, right? Like you're trying to improve upon that. So you're not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize going backwards.
Exactly. Right. So it just varies from person to person on what they deem successful for them. But you obviously have to have a general idea of what that is. And I think for most people, it just comes down to the simplicity of getting in the gym on a regular basis is success. Like that mindset kind of like
comes all back down to like consistency.
Yeah. Like something's better than nothing kind of deal, where I think sometimes we get wrapped up in all these factors of what's considered healthy and what, you know, aesthetics look like in performance. When we kind of break it down the very simplistic form of it all, it's just a matter of just being there. Mm-hmm. Right. And you'll see a lot of results because of that. Like I said earlier, it's just a matter of doing it day in and day out over and over and over and over. Because those good habits is what consistency is compounding, right? And like, you don't work out right now and see, you don't work out today and tomorrow you wake up and you have abs, or or you feel like you wake up today and tomorrow you're 20 times fitter than you were the day before, right? You don't feel any difference really right then. You don't feel like you look any better. You don't feel like you feel any better. Nothing happens the next day, right? You do that for a week and you still don't feel that great. And you do that for another week, you still don't feel that great. You do it for another week, you still probably don't feel all that great. But it's like somewhere around like 100 days in, 90 days in, 3 months, you start to kind of see, okay, I'm starting to see some physical changes start to happen. All of a sudden my mood seems to be a little better. But that's the compounding aspect of that day in and day out, right? That's what I could deem successful for majority of the population.
Yeah. I feel like that's a pretty good answer. So, I mean, I feel like we covered all the bases right there. And kind of works good because the next question, you kind of touched on it a little bit with you kind of talking about blue and trying to go to like purple and whatnot. But if somebody, let's say somebody's a blue athlete, right? And they, for instance, want to eventually get up to be able to do RX workouts on a daily basis.
Or like maybe the black like variation?
At least a few times a week, right?
You're referring to the black variation workout?
Yeah, right. Or RX or black. But what would be the best way to go about that? But also, I think people have like an unrealistic expectation of how long
that's going to take.
That's going to take, right? Yeah. So a lot of times like in workouts, they're like, maybe even like a purple athlete going to black. Like, I don't think a lot of y'all understand like, that's a big jump, right? Whether it's skills or weights or whatever it may be, but
more often than not, it's a big jump. There are some maybe random ass workouts where the purple to black jump isn't a humongous ask.
Huge, right?
Let's say maybe take a workout like Cindy.
Sure.
You know, you can do pull-ups, you can do push and air squats. Your roundage may not be ideal, but you can do all the movements of the ball.
But you'll see like on a day like that, like you'll see, I guarantee like the RX or black variation goes up by 40% on that day, right?
Sure. But if you're saying, for instance, like somebody wants to do, I want to do every workout in black.
Sure, right? And like how long that would take and like realistically what they would have to do to maybe like
to do that.
Go from blue to black, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably a longer answer, but.
Well, I think if I can kind of simplistically put this, you kind of have one or two paths to do that. One, fast tracking your path to getting black prescribed workouts, and one, not. Mm-hmm. So the slower variation to get there, is it possible? Yeah, like you said, it could take years.
Sure.
Years. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, I say years. Where
that's kind of what I wanted to bring it up too, is just to
bring and talking about years of like consistency of working your ass off, putting like
intensity
super high.
People see RX and they just see it as like, oh, that's achievable. Like that could I could do that one day, but like not really understand like it's like a, to me, I think it's like an achievement if you're doing black.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, think of the people who do the prescribed variations of a workout currently, mm-hmm. right? The black variations. Is most people are either A, young, where they have an athletic background through school, never stopped being active, and picked up at a young age,
sure.
CrossFit. Or B, the person has an athletic background and then progressively worked out through, like, whether it be running and doing weight training through their 20s into their 30s, and then was able to do black.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people that I can think off the top of my head have, they've got done, let's say, for college, they weren't physically active through most of their 20s and, let's say, early 30s, and then jumped in and did black within a year.
Sure.
More often than not, it's not how most people usually play out too. If you take somebody like Lacey, where that's a little bit more her history of not being active once past college, had kids, picked up CrossFit in her early 30s. It took her, I don't know, probably a good consistently of 5 years, somewhere around there, to get where she would start doing black. I would consider like prescribed workouts on a consistent basis. And even today, you know, even before she broke her foot, there would still be days where
she was doing brown
workouts just because of the lack of strength in some of the workouts that we would maybe do. But, I mean, it took her 5 years roughly to get to that point. So, essentially, if you were like, okay, I don't want to put, I'm just going to come to my hour class today, I'll come 5 days a week.
Right, not putting any extra
work. I got an 8-to-5 job, dude. I got 3 kids. I got a wife. I can't spend any more time in the gym. What do I want to do to get the black? So, it's obviously having some type of roadmap to get there is obviously essential. And talking to a coach to help get you there. But if, let's say you do 80%+ of your workouts in purple. So the difference between essentially purple and black is the skill,
mm-hmm.
right? So the weight loading isn't a tremendous difference. I mean, it's obviously a difference, but the biggest jump from purple to brown is the skill levels, right? Sure. Like getting handstand pushups or handstand walking or bar muscle ups, right? So it would probably involve, when we're working on skill progressions, like in our strength pieces, like obviously putting a lot of worth all and thought into those things and being really diligent about doing skills and drills. And then while we're possibly transitioning, like you're maybe trying to focus on those drills as you're transitioning into the workout, like as practice, but then going back to normal proper workouts
after,
during the workout, to still be the same as the workout. And then when it comes to the weights, you would have to obviously bridge that gap. So let's say we're doing 205 deadlifts for brown, and you have 185-pound deadlifts for purple. Let's say it's 20 reps. You would maybe cut that volume down to maybe like 12 or 15 reps and then bridge that gap over to where you're not doing all the volume with so much heavier weight. You can kind of bridge over and then over a period of time start doing the full amount of prescribed amount of reps. But I still think inevitably you're going to have to spend a little time working on the skill to a degree. Could be like just 10 minutes twice a week, working on one individual skill at a time. Could be a ring muscle up, a bar muscle up, handstand push up, handstand walk, and kind of going down the list of these skills that you can't currently do and checking those things off. And obviously, if you want to fast track that, you could do supplementary program like Hurricane X to spend more time on building more strength and building more skill. And that would reduce the time for you to get there,
sure.
compared to if I was just doing just a class workout, right? Because obviously you're introducing more volume, more time with more skilled structured strength work and more skill work. It's obviously going to fast track you, but it's still going to take
time.
Years. So it might take, so you might go from taking you 5 years to get there through a general class setting. You might get that down to like 3 years if you do like extra programming on a consistent basis. You know what I'm saying? So I think, probably framing that question up originally as you saying, I think sometimes people don't realize the time it's going to take for them to get there and climb that ladder up to that prescribed workout.
I think people just think that it's like I can get this done in 6 months, 8 months. Like I can just figure it out. And for some people, they might be able to. But I feel like for the majority of people, like, it's a longer process.
If you haven't worked out in 15 years,
it's going to be really hard.
It's going to be really hard for you to jump up from purple to black, or even been doing CrossFit. Let's say you've been with us for, you know, 2 years now, and let's say you maybe start off with orange, you worked your way to purple over a 2 or 3 year span. Well, I mean, that's about how long it's going to take you to get to the black variation now. Until you got 2 or 3 years to get to purple, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to get to black.
Funny sometimes is because like a lot of people like come into the gym and even normal members that come every day, like they'll see somebody like a Leland or like somebody like a Steven or somebody just hops up there and just bar muscles like crazy, crazy. But they don't get to see like they've been doing this for 6-7 years, you know, and they've been like honing that in and been practicing and trying to actually do all that stuff to get to that point. But no, I think that's a pretty good point right there. And then kind of leading into the next question is, a lot of times we see people doing RX workouts or pushing for RX workouts, no matter the day, no matter the workout. When in reality, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months go down the line, they're still the same fitness level, or maybe they're still in the same, I guess, bubble that they were in 6 months ago. They never really, I guess, improved. How would you recommend somebody like that
to get better? If they are doing RX?
Yeah, like let's say they're doing RX every day, no matter what the workout, right? And 6 months later down the line, they're still the same person and they don't understand why they're not getting better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm understanding the gist of the question here is essentially is if somebody feels like, okay, I'm at the tip of the spear in the way the complexity of the workouts and like the weight of the workout, how can I possibly get any better from here?
Sure.
Is essentially, I guess, is kind of where you're going with it.
Like they're capable of doing RX workouts, but they never necessarily see themselves getting better. Or they're always like in the same time frame, or they're always doing the same stuff over and over again.
Sure. So I think you can kind of attack that multiple different ways. First off, like you have to ask the question, how do you know you're not getting any better? Are you basing it just based off how you're quote unquote falling on the leaderboard? Like you're always finishing last in the prescribed variation of the workout. Until you have actual data to say you're not improving or not improving, it's tough to say one way or the other.
Sure.
Right? So if you go to repeat a workout 6 months down the road, that should be where you indicate if you're improving or not, first off. But let's say that person isn't improving. There's multiple things that they could probably do to improve upon themselves. And a lot of times it could just be simplistic things of the easy thing in the gym would probably just be the fact of being more efficient with the movement you're currently doing, right? So not necessarily changing anything with how you're working out and just focus on more on moving better and working on movement efficiency, right? So if you can reduce your output by 10% by just moving better, by squatting better, by hinging better, by being more efficient at your movements, you can, without even necessarily quote unquote getting fitter, you can improve scores and things of that nature, right? But as well as you have to look outside the gym walls, like what are you doing? Like how much sleep you're getting on a regular basis, what your stress levels are like. Maybe it could involve you either losing weight or gaining weight. Because, I mean, with CrossFit, you do have a balance of being too light or too heavy.
Sure.
Right? If you're a guy 160 pounds, well, trying to squat clean 225 is going to be a hell of a task.
Really tough job, yeah.
Right? And then also, if I'm 250 pounds, me trying to do bar muscle ups is going to be a hell of a task. Right. So it's one of those things where you're going to have to find that balance of where the nutrition is going to fall to help you out with your conditioning or whatever it may be. Right. If you could drop 20 pounds, what's a 20 pound weight vest now you've got off of you, could probably breathe a whole lot better.
On the bar, right?
Exactly. Right. So I think it's one of those things. And it could be one of those things where also when it comes to moving better, it could be a matter of, hey, instead of doing black all the time, let's maybe reduce the volume down to brown and reduce that intensity down just a tad for you to allow you to get better movement in and then come back to it in 3 months, 6 months, whatever it may be, after we've kind of honed in those skills a little bit better and then go back to black.
And I always think it's funny because like, let's say somebody that always does black, maybe they do brown that day, right? And maybe they just take a step back or maybe somebody in the class convinced them to do brown. And they feel like they maybe either, one, finished the workout way faster than they normally would, right? And so they feel like they did get a good workout. What would you say to, like, maybe that person?
What do you mean?
So, like, let's say, for instance, somebody, right, who does, like, normally always does black and normally gets beat up pretty good, but they decide to do purple or brown that day, and they finish the workout 3-4 minutes faster than his friends or his partner.
I'm just going to go slow or go faster than this, so that means that you got a bad workout.
Well, and I think that's kind of what I'm kind of trying to get at is, like, the misconception right there is I think a lot of people think that way.
A lot of times, at least...
Sometimes I feel like when people maybe do like purple or brown, like they end up getting an even better workout than they would originally if they did black.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, we kind of talk about what this podcast kind of lean up to of like pushing yourself and, you know, trying to strive for, if you're trying to look to improve upon, your body composition or your performance, you know, where you currently are, you have to change something to get better, right? Like you just can't keep doing the same repetitive thing every single time doing and not get better. Well, essentially, there's still, with that being said, there is a little bit of a caveat there of saying, just do what you're doing, but better, mm-hmm. I guess to a degree, would be a better way sometimes to put it, where focusing on better movement quality and moving more efficiently can go really long ways to get a better workout,
sure.
Right? And like sometimes that might involve, like you said, even potentially going down to a color to achieve that, right? I think you start to, I guess maybe like what's the indicator in your, I'll ask you this question because I have my answer, but I'll ask you the question. Is what do you feel like is the indicator for somebody when they're doing a workout? Let's say they're doing orange.
Okay.
What does their indicator say finally, like, okay, dude, you need to bump it up a little bit.
Like you need to go up.
Yeah, like what do you feel like would be the indicator for that?
I think in general it probably would determine on like what the movements are maybe for that workout. But I would say just in general, like let's say there's supine rows and let's say there's 15 supine rows in a workout and you every time you go to the supine row bar, you're knocking out 15. Mm-hmm. Or let's say you're knocking out 12 and 3, right? And you have your knees tucked. Okay. I think at that point in time you need to understand like if you're watching everybody else doing pull ups or chest bars or bar muscle ups, they're not doing a set of 12, they're not doing a set of 15. Like they're actually breaking it up. And so I would maybe say,
see, my simplistic answer was going to be more so of if more often than not you come to the gym and your score is comparatively to everybody,
mm-hmm.
one of the better scores.
Sure.
Regardless of, across all color spectrum. All color spectrum, right? Like, no matter if somebody's doing black or yellow, if you're doing orange and pretty much every single time you come in here, you're pretty much finishing at the top of the pack in the way of a score, that's probably an indication that even though, yes, you did, I'm not saying you didn't get a good workout. You still can get a good workout from doing that. But to challenge yourself a little further is probably just an indication, okay, we probably need to start doing some blue variations, right? Because you're not, for the stimulus that we're trying to get the workout, you're on that shorter end of that stimulus.
Sure.
That now we need to kind of push the envelope a little bit to give you a little bit more load, a little bit more complexity to kind of push you back towards the middle of that range of the ideal range we're looking for the stimulus of the workout. That makes sense. We're saying we're trying to finish between 13 minutes and 16 minutes, and you're finishing at 12 minutes every single time. You're on that, you're like, okay, you're not using enough volume to elicit the response that we want. Let's maybe bump you up to the blue, and you can get, and we'll finish at 15 minutes now.
Yeah, and a lot of times I feel like I see that with newer people, maybe like 3-4 months in, maybe mm-hmm. they just started CrossFit. I feel like I see that the most with.
Well, it's mainly with, and not to be like sexist, but like a lot
of females.
Females.
Yeah.
Females is usually the ones you have to kind of like
push out
into the next color. Like, hey, like, I know we've been doing this for a while, but let's try to do this one thing today, right?
And that, like I said earlier, like, it doesn't have to mean that, let's say you're doing orange workouts, like, you're fully going to do a blue workout that mm-hmm. day. Like, you kind of hinted at it earlier. It's like, just maybe taking one movement and throwing it into exactly. Maybe you're doing two movements of orange and one of blue, right?
And what I mean by that, not necessarily jumping like full head force into the next color.
No, don't do
that. You're shading in where, depending on the person, the simplistic version is usually say, it could be something like, hey, we're always running the 150. Let's run 200 today.
Yeah.
Or you're always using the 15-pound dumbbells. Let's do 20 pounds today. Usually the last in that list comes with the complexity of the movements, right? So you kind of reference like the supine row. Like, hey, we've been on the supine row for a while. Let's hop on the bar and let's see if we can do a pull-up. Right? Mm-hmm. Or let's try to do a banded pull-up and see where we are. And you kind of start experimenting with them to kind of get them nudged over, like, hey, let's try to do a pull-up.
And I feel like normally once you kind of nudge them that first time, or maybe like that first mm-hmm. initial push, and they kind of see that they are capable of, like, jumping into blue, I feel like that's normally like the light switch that kind of kicks mm-hmm. off. And after that point in time, they end up kind of like testing the waters on their own a little bit.
Well, once a light bulb kind of goes off where, because inevitably ends up happening, you talk to the person when they first come, like, oh, you know, I'm not really interested in doing pull-ups or lifting, you know, weights. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to kind of like tone and like just do like simple movements. And then once they kind of get to that point in their time and they're, you know, 6 months down the road and they've built a good base and you kind of as a coach feel like they can do, potentially do a strict pull-up.
Yeah.
That you kind of nudge them in that direction, and all of a sudden now the wheels start turning. Like, oh, well, maybe I can do some of these movements.
Well, especially if it's like something big, like a strict pull up, like, mm-hmm. and like they never thought they were going to do a strict pull up, and you're like, hey, let's just try and see this, and they do it, and yeah. it's like, oh my gosh, this is the best day ever. Right? Yeah,
or they see somebody that's kind of around their fitness level, and they see them doing pull ups.
Sure,
like, shit, Tammy can do pull ups.
That motivates them to even want to do pull ups.
Exactly
right.
Right?
And I feel like that's probably the biggest thing is like, especially when you join CrossFit, you end up making friends and you end up being friends with people in the classes and you see them like doing strict pull-ups or doing kipping pull-ups and like you end up makes you almost hungrier to want to be able to get to that.
Well, naturally as human beings, you have that natural instinct.
You don't want to be the oddball out.
Well, naturally you have a little bit of, everybody has a little bit of competitive fire in their belly where,
sure.
you know, like I know I'm not that much weaker than X, Y, and Z person. I should be able to do that, right? And so now that fire starts getting built in your belly, like, if they can do it, I should be able to do
sure.
it. And so, and it's not that they're shitting on the person doing that, right? They're like, I just know that if that person can do it, I definitely can do that thing. And I guess on the flip side of that is sometimes you have people where maybe they've taken an extended amount of time off.
Okay.
Where they... Let's say maybe they were really consistent for a 2 or 3 year span, right?
Sure.
They built a lot of fitness. And inevitably something happened in life. They were single before, then they got married, they had a kid, and or maybe a new job, or whatever it may be. But over the past year, their consistency has not been
there.
There was the 3 years previously, right? And in doing so, they've lost some fitness and lost some strength because of it. And then they, as they start to, let's say they finally got everything worked out and they're back in a consistent rate, you do have that tendency to sometimes have to tell people, like, look, I know you were able to do this beforehand. You were able to knock out like 15 pull-ups, 10 pull-ups. But the way you're looking right now, you're going to injure yourself. I need to pull back and come back down to super.
Like, that's the toughest conversation to
that
have.
Is a very tough conversation.
That is a touchy subject.
Yes, because people don't like to hear
that. They don't like to hear that shit.
They don't like to hear, like, I like to do my pull-ups, and I've worked so hard to get them, and now that they're gone, or not as good as the efficient, you tell me I can't do them anymore. And that's a conversation as a coach that you're trying to look out for the best athlete to
sure.
not injure themselves. Like, look, I understand there's a time place we can come back to these, but right now where we are, we're not ready to go back to those so much so quickly.
To go about that.
Let's pull back a little bit. We'll revisit this back in 2 or 3 months.
See
where we're at and build that base. The good news is that you have it. Like, you've had it. So
like it's in there, right?
It's going to be easy to come
back. And that's another thing. I think once you, like, establish, especially something in the fitness world, like, it's always easier to regain it
sure.
than to, like, learn something from scratch.
And then to build it.
Right? Like, I mean, you can not do a bar muscle up for 3-4 years, come back into the gym, and then within probably a month, you probably can get that bar muscle up back.
Yeah,
depending on how
skilled
you maybe
are.
Have whatever happens.
If you're knocking out 15 bar muscle ups, yeah, probably within a month coming back from the gym, you could knock out one.
Sure.
But if you like, could just do one, it took 6 months down the road. Well, it's probably going to take another six months for you to get it back.
It's going
to
take a little while.
Yeah.
Well, that is all I've gotten for the day. I feel like I had one more, but I don't feel like I want to ask it, so we're not going to ask
Why?
It. Because it's kind of what we've been talking about previously, so I don't know if it would go well.
We'll say we're not going to talk about it. We already broke that down enough.
Well, I feel okay, we'll talk about it anyway.
Well,
but
we'll see. I mean, if it doesn't work out, you're like, hey, we've already beat that dog to death, we're not going to talk about it.
All right, well, how do we as a gym make scaling more acceptable to people and get them to understand that it is okay to scale? What's the question?
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess you can, and we've kind of talked around that a little bit to a degree, but never, I guess it hasn't been like a direct
answer. Like, we
never
like nailed it with a hammer, but I feel like we beat around the bush around it, so I didn't want to ask it.
Well, I think it's subjective. That's a little bit of a hard part about, you know, fitness in general is, and that's where the coaches come to play.
Sure.
I think
that's
big time. Because they can give you,
CrossFit's so cool.
Yeah, I think as a person, you can you can have these feelings or whatever it may be of where you are, and the coach has a little bit more of an objective idea of actually where you are and where you need to go based off what you're telling, what you want out of your fitness.
I feel like a lot of times the coaches, especially if you come to the same class regularly, like you're not like just going to different classes every day, probably most likely have a better idea of what you're capable of than probably you.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? So like an example of that might be where this is a thought that I have, and you can kind of bounce off my ideas here, and you can kind of tell me if you're like, yeah, that happens a lot too, where you have somebody where they've been coming for a little while, and you know their depth in their squat's not always the greatest. Their positionings aren't quite the greatest in the squat, but they're like, man, I really want to get fitter, and I want to get better, and I want to try to build more skeletal muscle mass and look better and things of that nature. So I'm doing orange. I'm going to do blue weight now. And they kind of come to you as a coach, and they kind of tell you that. They're like, look, that's great. I think it's where you want to do blue and you're trying to improve yourself. But I don't think it's a good idea to try to do that for your squats.
Sure.
Because of the reasons like I listed before.
Reasons X, Y, and Z.
You're not getting proper depth. Your mechanics still quite aren't there yet. What I want out of you is to do orange, but do better in orange with your squats.
Yeah.
So I need to see more depth out of you. I need to see better positions out of you for the next like 3 months, 6 months. And if we lock that in really good, then we'll move on, right? There's no point in me putting more weight on a shitty form.
Sure.
Right? There's no point in me putting more weight on an unstable surface.
I mean, you're almost causing more damage than good at that point in time. Then you're just like reiterating like
that. Well, and right? It'll probably build more skeletal muscle mass through just achieving more range of motion on a regular basis. And they'll achieve more range of motion, more mobility, which will allow them to build upon that strength later on in the future. And be like, look, but your overhead strength's really good, right? Your positions are really good. And you crush any workout that involves like push presses and body movements, right? Mm-hmm. For this workout, this may try to do blue, but all the lower body movements, let's try to do orange.
Try to orange.
Or whatever, vice versa. You know, or you have somebody like, look, like I'm currently doing yellow runs. I really want to try to do orange runs. Okay, great, but I see you walk a lot on yellow runs. I don't think adding more distance is going to be more beneficial now. So your goal for the next 3 months is to not walk on any of the yellow runs.
Sure.
And then we can go to orange runs, so on and so forth. And then, like you said, you do have some people where they get very complacent and they're like, okay, I do orange.
And they just do
I do 2 pound rows.
Every damn day.
I do 15 pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
I do 45 pound thrusters. And that's just, it's automatic, right? And as a coach, you kind of, inevitably, you see that person finally go, they're going to walk over the 15s, like, oh, no. Today we're going to do 20s.
We're going to do 20s today.
Right? But then after, and then they'll kind of give you that, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Right? And inevitably, it ends up happening afterwards. You know, and they might be dying, right, during the workout. And inevitably, they come after you, like, hey, I appreciate you pushing
me. Thank you for pushing me.
Like, I didn't think I could do that. Honestly, I could do it. I appreciate you kind of giving that push. And that goes a long ways. But yeah, I mean, there is times to, I guess, go back to the original point of the question where, like, yeah, like there's points in time where scaling and modifying are advantageous, mm-hmm. right? And there's times that they're not. I think only the coach is only going to be the one to be able to give you the best answer. Subjective answer to that, or objective answer to that, and not just be subjective on that. Because I think sometimes we can kind of get caught up in our own goals and, we're trying to push the needle on those goals.
Sure.
And sometimes the answer may not be to push the gas pedal down harder. It's and do more volume and try to put on more weight and things of that nature. And it could just be a simplistic answer of saying like, well, actually I need to pull back a little bit to make yourself better for the future kind of deal. So that's inevitably kind of, I guess the answer to that is that it's not a simplistic, like this is the
thing. This is the answer.
But yeah. I don't know if I answered that properly.
I think you got it. So, you hit it pretty well.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
I don't think so. I mean, and for all y'all, like, I know, like, if you come in the afternoons, like, if y'all ask me questions, I'm pretty honest with them.
No, you have to be as a coach. And I think some people, like, can be more blunt, some not. But
well, and sometimes I do feel bad. Like, Sydney sometimes tells me that I'm too honest or maybe too blunt with him sometimes. But at the same time, I would rather be blunt and honest with you than pump fucking butterflies and fairies up you, right? Like, yeah. I would rather you know the honest answer than you not know the honest answer. and that kind of just ties into what you were kind of saying earlier, but I'm never going to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, and obviously everybody's different on what kind of style of coaching they like. Obviously, your job as a coach is, my job is not necessarily to be your friend, it's to be your coach at the time.
Sure.
Right? I have my coach's hat on right now.
I'm more blunt with other people. Like, right? Sure. I think as a coach, like, you have to know the people that you can be blunt with and maybe the people that you maybe have to dial it down with.
Yeah.
And that just comes with the territory of being a coach. But knowing your athletes.
You have to kind of understand what person's going to – and kind of what kind of comfortability you have as a coach with that person, how you talk to them. Because there are some people who are like, dude, you're being a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you need to put some more weight on the bar. And there's sometimes like, hey, I know, you know, Sally, we've been doing 45, but you look really good. Like, really good. I think you can really handle 55. Like, you're strong enough to do that now.
And sometimes that's all you need to say.
And so it's – those are the same exact the answer to that is the same exact thing, but it's how you go about
how you
doing
say
it. And some of you respond differently to those things. But yeah, I mean
– like, if I'm going to coach Trey Duffel, it's going to be different than, like, a normal person just walks through the doors, right?
And, like – I mean, like, Trevor's like a perfect example of sometimes he's one of those guys where it's like, dude, you probably shouldn't do RX today. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just based off where you are currently as an athlete for the same as the workout, I don't think you should do RX today.
Sure.
He's a prime example of somebody who does that, right? And there's some days where I'm like, dude, you're kind of being a bitch.
You need to do RX today.
You can do RX. But I would say more often than not with Trevor, though, it's probably one of those things like, you can – you're like, hey, you need to pull back.
Like, dial it back.
You need to dial back. Like, hey, that weight's going to probably bury you a little bit too much today. You need to dial back some.
To me as a coach, like, I always feel good after they finish their workout. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if, like, you tell them, like, maybe to scale it back or maybe to go up in weight and they still end up doing very well or, like, they still crush the workout and they still, like, they're laying on the floor after.
Yeah.
I always feel better that way than, like, vice versa.
Well, there's sometimes where if the person's very adamant about them doing it, and if they prove me wrong, now, more power to them.
There are some points in time where you kind of like have to just sit there and like let them burn. Like there's certain times where I'm gonna like let you figure it out on your own, and then next time you maybe like might listen to what I have to say.
I will say more often than not trying to like toot our own horn, but after you do it for so long and you've seen an athlete move for so long, you kind of understand where their weak points and where the strong points are, and like, based off the structure of the workout, you can kind of understand how certain athletes are going to do in certain workouts and how they're going to look and how they're going to move and things of that nature. Inevitably, you have that athlete or maybe they just have a wild hair that day, they're feeling good, and they're like, I'm going to do this. And as a coach, you say, I don't think this is the best idea. Mm-hmm. Anything you can pull back. Like, no, I'm going to do it. I think I can do it. More often than not, I feel like we're pretty right on those things. Mm-hmm. Hit the nail on the head, like, I kind of told you so afterwards. But every so often...
We've proven wrong.
They pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Sure.
And they're like, dude, you impressed the hell out of me.
You got Rudy up in the building.
Yeah.
Rudy comes out and balls out.
And sometimes you have to, as an athlete too, where you're like, you know, truthfully inside of yourself, like, I can do this today and I'm going to do it.
Sure.
And you can pull out of your ass sometimes.
Absolutely. I mean,
and Chris Hood's a primary example of that.
I had another name in my head, but.
Chris Hood's, at least in my eyes, he's a prime example of somebody where he'll start the workout. I'm like, dude, I don't think that's a good idea. And sometimes he pulls it out. But more often than not so much.
See, I was thinking of Butler. Like, every once in a while, like, he'll pull one out and you're like, oh, he actually pulled it off. But more often than not, it goes the other way.
Because they have it in them. They have to tap into that system.
Sure.
If they can do it. But it's a matter of, can they tap into it?
I think a lot of times it's tapping into that, into the brain, into the mental. And then once they do that and they can kind of black out a little bit, let them get it done. But a lot of times it doesn't happen.
So, but I think we have kind of... done our due diligence on this
I
one.
I think so. I think we got it.
But all right, well, hopefully you guys got some enjoyment out of this one, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
See you.